Open your Bibles with me this morning to 2 Kings, after you've given. And we're going to go to the Word of God this morning and teach the Word of God. Everything God does in relationship to revival, the pouring out of His Spirit, the answering of our prayers, everything that God does is in relationship to the Word of God. Every promise He's given us, everything that He has sowed into us spiritually, every word that you've memorized, every devotion that you've put into your heart, the Scripture, the Word of the Lord, God bases everything He does for us on the root of the Word of the Lord. Elbow your neighbor and say, God's Word is sure. Amen. Everything's done according to the Word of God. And when you have a promise from the Lord, you've gone to your prayer closet, and you've taken the Word of God with you, and the Spirit of the Lord speaks to you a divine promise, and He says, this is what I'm going to do for you, then that promise is a never-ending promise. It's a never-ending promise. Elbow your neighbor and say, God's promises to me are never-ending. So whether you see the fulfillment of it immediately or sometime later or maybe in the future, the promise still hasn't died. It's still alive. Somebody shout, the promise is still alive. It's still good. Hallelujah. So let's go to 2 Kings this morning. And we started out the year a couple of Sundays ago with our theme, expecting double portion. How many of you are still expecting, after 14 days of prayer and fasting, you're still expecting double portion? How many of you have seen an increase already in what you've been asking God to do? Go ahead, lift them up high. Don't be afraid. You've already seen an increase. Yeah, maybe you haven't seen the double yet, but you've seen the increase. All right? How many of you have been healed in the last 2 weeks? That's an increase. Come on, somebody. That's an increase. How many of you have experienced an overwhelming sense of the power and the presence of God in your life, like last Sunday morning, when God just, the glory of the Lord came and sat in this house? Amen. How many of you have experienced a touch from God in the last couple of weeks? Raise your hand. That's increase. You are on your way to the double portion of the Spirit of God. It is too quiet in here for me today. I'm just warning you, it's just a little bit quiet in here. And I don't wear hearing aids. I don't need them. Hallelujah. But there's somebody around you that needs to hear a praise out of your spirit. They need to hear an amen agreement with the Word of God. So it stirs up their spirit, quickens something inside of them that says, yes, these people believe the Word of God is true, and so I believe the Word of God is true. Amen. How many of you need a little stir up once in a while? You just need a little, come on, a pick-me-up, God, just to jab me and make me, get the Holy Ghost hat pin out. Amen. Whatever. 2 Kings. Let's go to our theme scripture, expecting double portion. 2 Kings chapter 2. Let's go to verse 8. Elijah and Elisha came to the river Jordan. The Bible says, now Elijah took his mantle, and he rolled it up, and it struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, somebody say, crossed over. Now, let me just encourage you with something. Faith has got to cross over into the promises of God from unbelief into dynamic faith in relationship with the Lord. There's times in our lives we come to places where we've got to cross over this thing in order for the promise to be fulfilled. Come on, somebody. We can't stand the river and just look and think and hope that God, God's going to do something. My hope is on the other side. My promise is waiting on the other side, though I don't even know that sometimes. But I've got to cross over in order to get there. Come on, somebody. You've got to push through the unbelief. You've got to push through the fear. You've got to push through the anxiety. You've got to push through the waiting period of impatience. You've got to push through. Well, I'm still preaching better than... Come on. They crossed over. Okay. Verse 9. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha. He said, ask what I may do for you before I'm taken away from you. What a powerful thing. God has done that. He's in my life on numerous occasions, he said to me, what do you want me to do? At the first of this year, he asked me that same question. What do you want me to do for you? My first response to him was, I want your spirit to be poured out in my life greater than ever before. I want to see signs and wonders and miracles, notable signs. I want to see the lame walk, the blind see. I want to see people get out of wheelchairs. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I want to see miracles that are notable in the name of Jesus. I'm not so concerned for myself as much as I am for the kingdom of God, because these are the last days and we can expect God to be the biggest he's ever been, the mightiest he's ever been. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. So Elijah says to Elisha, ask what I may do for you before I'm taken away from you. And Elisha said, without hesitation. Now, I want you to see this. Without hesitation. He didn't have to say, well, let me think about it. Well, let me ponder this a moment. I really could use some clothes. I really could use some shoes or something. Or let me think about this, God, because a new car would really be nice. He didn't even hesitate. I want you to see this. He didn't even hesitate. He said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Now that shows me something, that there was a priority in his heart that had to do with kingdom more than it had to do with himself. He said, please let a double portion of the Spirit. He knew it was the Spirit of God. He knew it was the anointing of God, because God had used Elijah to do multiple miracle after miracle after miracle in the Old Testament. Jesus hadn't even come yet, but miracles were happening through the prophets of God. And so Elisha said, he said, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. How many want a double portion of God? Come on. Amen. You see, before, now listen to this very closely, before there are any blessings in the natural, it first happens in the spiritual. Double portion of the Spirit always precedes the blessing of God. So when you're asking God to do something, it's His Spirit, His power and presence that comes. His blessings in the natural follow the move or the pouring out of His Spirit of God. It's true. Now let's watch it. So Elisha says, let a double portion of the Spirit be upon me. So Elijah said, you've asked a hard thing. Somebody say, a hard thing. The translation is a difficult thing, a tough thing, something that's not easy. He was saying, this isn't an easy thing, But nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so for you. Then it happened as they continued. Somebody shout, continued. They continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now Elisha saw it. Somebody say, saw it. In other words, he was there. He was there. He was at the right place at the right time. I want you to know something today. You are at the right place in the right house at the right time. Come on. This is day 14 of prayer and fasting. You're at the right place. And whether you've struggled in the fasting or you've stayed with your prayer and fasting, you are in the right place at the right time. And God says when you are in the right place at the right time, you will see. Come on, you'll see. Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah, what he had asked for. Come on. He took what he had asked for. He took the mantle that had fallen and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over to the other side. Now, we're teaching you some principles of where we're to be to receive the double portion. We talked about two Sundays ago, and I followed it just last Sunday briefly. The first principle of expecting double portion is, number one, to be hungry and desirous for the Spirit of God. That's a desire that we can never afford to lose. A hunger and a desire for God. And that hunger and desire is birthed in the place of prayer. It's birthed when you're alone with God and you simply say, Lord, I want more of you. I've got to have more of you. I can't make it in this world, Father, without more of you. I've got to have the Spirit of the Lord. I'm desirous, I'm hungry, and I will not be satisfied with anything else. God, I am hungry for you. And I talked to you last Sunday about hunger versus hungry. Hunger being that of an appetite or a lacking of something, but hungry being a strong desire of intense passion from out of the inner man for more than what we have now. Hungry. Elisha asked what he desired because he and asked for a spirit of the double portion because he was hungry for what he saw on Elijah. Now watch this, number two. Write these things down, number two. You've got to seek God's presence continually. We seek God when we come into the house of the Lord. We seek His presence here. But there's a seeking of His presence outside of the house that is extremely important in our everyday lives. Seeking the presence of God has got to be in the forefront of everything we do. But somebody might say, what about Pastor? I got so many things going on in my life. I got so many things happening. I've got to do this. I've got to go to job, to my job, and earn my income, and I've got kids, and I've got grandkids, and I got to do their things and be where they're at, and I got all this going. But still, in the middle of it all, there's a spirit in the heart of every believer that cries out for the presence of God. The presence of God has got to be forefront in everything that we do. The presence of God. You can be in the grocery store and the presence of God is still your priority. You can be driving down the road and the presence of God is still your priority. Come on, somebody. I was out in the Lockwood area yesterday, and in my truck as I was driving back, the Spirit of the Lord came into my truck. And out of my heart, I begin to cry out to the Lord, "Lord, I'm hungry. I want your presence. I want it more than I've known in times past. I want this encounter, Father, again in a greater measure than I've ever experienced in my entire life." The presence of God has got to be forefront. Elisha had that cry inside of his heart, and he said to Elijah, "Let a double portion of your spirit come on me. I want it. I don't want anything else. I want the power and the presence of Almighty God." In Psalm 51, verse 11, the Bible declares this. David said, "Lord, do not cast me away from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me." That's a cry that's got to permeate our heart and our spirit in relationship with the Lord, because he wants us to literally live in his presence. It's possible. It's absolutely possible and probable, because God is the God of impossibilities, for you to live and walk in the presence of the Lord. So that wherever you are, whoever you touch, whoever you speak to, senses the presence of the Lord upon your life. That's what this Christian life is all about. It's about presence. See, Elisha wasn't asking for a double portion just because he wanted to feel the power that Elijah felt. He wanted to be effective. And when he asked for a double portion of the Spirit and God granted it, the Bible says he did twice as many miracles as Elijah did in his lifetime, because he had asked God, "I want the double portion, and it's for the kingdom's sake." Kingdom's sake. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 says, the Lord said, "You will seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all of your heart." That's being all in, every passion, every desire, all in seeking God's presence, going after him. I would hope and trust and believe that in your prayer and fasting that you're not just going after things alone, but you're going after God himself. Because when you go after God himself, you will receive the things you are praying and believing for. They'll happen. But he said, "Seek me, you'll find me." Somebody say, "I want to find him." In Psalm 63:1, David said, "Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts, my flesh longs in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory." The thirsting and the longing and the looking for the presence of the Lord. Because he's moving in the earth, folks. He's moving mightily in the earth. Elbow your neighbor and say, "God's moving." You may not see it with your natural eyes at times, but the Spirit of God is moving. He's moving in this house right now in powerful ways. He's moving. See, seeking God's presence keeps you hot. keeps you from getting lukewarm, keeps you from growing cold. Because if we seek the wrong things, lukewarmness comes into our lives. And then we've got to fight it, and we've got to throw it off, and we've got to get rid of it in order to get back to the presence of God. Revelation, Jesus said, I'd rather have you hot or cold than lukewarm, because if you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. There's got to be a continual passion for seeking the presence of God. A cry that only comes out of the heart and the spirit of the Lord. A cry for Him. Number three, write this down. The third thing. You want the double portion of God. Here's what the scripture teaches. Stay faithful to the man of God. And I'm going to add there the house of God. Stay faithful, somebody say, stay faithful to the man of God and the house of God. What would have happened if Elisha would have said, I'm too tired to go on with you, Elijah. I'm too weary to make the next step. I don't need to go to church with you today, Elijah. I'm just going to stay home and prop the old feet up and in the easy chair and just relax. Elisha would not have been there to see when the Spirit of God was poured out. Can you imagine something with me on the day of Pentecost? If those 120 in the upper room were gathered together, if some of them would have said, hey, I've waited long enough. I've got things I've got to do. I've got a family to take care of. I've got to go administer some things in my life. And what if some of them would have left on the day of Pentecost? Would the Spirit of God still have been poured out in great measure? I believe it would have, but those who left missed. But there were 120 that said, I'm not leaving. Because Jesus said not to. Jesus said, tarry until I'm endued with power from on high. I don't know what that looks like. I can imagine the disciples thinking, I'm not sure what that is. But if Jesus said it, I'm going to do it. Because I've watched Jesus speak. And I heard Jesus say things that caused death to leave and demons to be cast out and the sick and the lame to be healed. And I saw His word was true and powerful. And because Jesus said to, I'm going to do what Jesus said because I don't want to miss out on what He said He would do. Elisha had that kind of spirit. Elisha had that kind of attitude that said, oh, I don't want to miss out. I'm sure that he was right on the heels of Elijah every place he went. He was right on the heels of Elijah. The heels. Come on, on the ouch, on the heels. He took my shoe off. Hallelujah. Right on the heels. Because the promise was, you asked a hard thing. But if you see me when I go, come on somebody. If you're there when the promise is fulfilled, if you stay in tune and in walk and you stay and go where I go and worship as I worship and pray as I pray, you will see the Spirit of God, come on somebody, poured out, but you got to stay. You just left your blessing. No. We live in a world where too many people change course in the middle of their journey, which wasn't the plan of the Lord. Oh, come on, somebody. And rooted themselves or removed themselves from what God was about to do. Whew. This is powerful. Stay faithful to the man of God, the house of God. Faithful is keeping faith, being reliable, being loyal, being dependable, and being true. Stay with the course. I'm not saying this to lift myself up. I'm not saying that at all. I think you know me better as your pastor. But there is a principle in the Word of God of staying true to what you have begun in. Because the Bible says, when you have begun a good work, that we're when God has begun a work, good work, He will complete it unto the day of the Lord. You don't depart from it. Hello, somebody. Amen. Jesus put it this way when he talked about the servants in Matthew 25:23. He said to one, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." We live in a generation that thinks we can hop from one blessing to another, or from one man that's anointed to another man that's anointed. Now listen to me. All of them are for the perfection and the edification of the body of Christ. You don't have to go jump to another one to get the benefit of the glory of the Lord upon the fivefold ministry. Oh, is this good preaching? Amen. Too many times, see, we change course just before the next step, which would be the one of victory. Can you imagine? All of a sudden, chariots or chariots of fire, yeah, are getting ready to come and pick up Elisha. And at that moment, just before, Elisha says, "Oh, I'm tired, I've had enough." And he turns, and it happens, and he didn't see it. Wow. He would have missed. I don't want to miss. Is there anybody here that doesn't want to miss? Hallelujah. Stay faithful. Faithfulness has to do with committed. Stay committed. Stay dedicated. Committed is to give yourself in charge or to pledge to the kingdom of God. And in this house, freedom. Father, I've given myself to this house. My wife and I celebrate 29 years in just a few weeks as lead pastor of this house. I don't want to miss. Come on, somebody. Elbow your neighbor and say, "Don't miss, don't miss, don't miss." Because when you're there, if you see, the promise was to him, "If you see me when I go, the double portion of the Spirit will be poured out." Servants, faithful. Committed. Elijah stayed faithful. He got the double portion. Number four, write this down. Number four, stay faithful to the Word of God. Stay true to the Word of God. Faith has a fidelity to it. And if you study it out in the Hebrew, the word pistis, faith, has a word translated into our English which means, which is fidelity, which means to be faithful to faith. In other words, if you're going to trust God, be faithful to trusting God. Hello. Don't turn away from it. Be faithful to faith, to trusting the Word of God. There's a faith that we put in the Word of God, but then there's a faithfulness. There is an integrity that stirs up inside of us that says, I have a fidelity to the Word. I have a faithfulness to the Word. I'm not going to go back on what the Word of God says. I'm going to live in the truth of the Scripture. I'm not going to compromise the promises of the Lord, because God spoke it, and if He spoke it, I believe it. And the Bible says that when He spoke it, He will make it good. He's not a man that He should lie. Hallelujah. You stay faithful to the Word of God. But you say, look, Pastor, I've heard revival preached all of my life. So have I. And I have seen over the decades of my life, because I'm years old, I have seen moves of God that came. And then some people will say they went. They didn't go anywhere. People's attitudes changed. If that were the case, the cross wouldn't have its power anymore, because the cross was a move of God. The blood of Jesus was a move of the Father. And that wasn't a one-time move. That was a beginning to a glorious ending. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Moves of the Spirit of the Lord. I still believe in the last great day of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the earth. Amen. And even though it looks like it's not happening, I can tell you it is happening. Because in Israel, there's revival. In Iraq, there's revival. In Iran, there's revival. And when they find those who have converted from Islam to Christianity, they behead them without question. We don't even know about it in America, to the degree of what's happening. But those who are being saved in Islamic ungodly countries, and they're being killed for their faith, it's just like the last days of the tribulation period, when those who refuse the mark of the beast will be beheaded. Come on. That is happening all over the world right now. We are in the last days. The Spirit is being poured out. The question is, do we want a new move of God in America? Do we want a move of God in Billings, Montana? Do we want a move of God in the state of Montana, in this region? Do we really want an outpouring of the Holy Ghost and fire? Somebody's got to rise up. Somebody has to stand up. Freedom Church will be one of those that stands up and says, we'll be counted among those that desire the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in these last days. Come on, somebody give God a shout. Stay faithful to the Word of God. The promises. Romans 10:8 says, the Word of God is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Because the Word has power to create and power to sustain. Amen. The Word has power to heal, and the Word has power to keep you whole. Keep you healed. But it's the Word. It's not our voicing of our feelings of how we feel in the midst of our struggle that sustains us. Those things actually the devil will use to destroy you. But it's the Word of the Lord that you speak in the middle of what you walk through that will not only bring your victory, but will sustain you in that victory. Amen. This is good preaching, evangelist. an evangelist. Got two evangelists sitting right over there. Promises of God. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God are in Him, yes, and they are in Him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Number five. Go to number five. Hallelujah. You can play, but I'm not done preaching. Number five, remain faith-filled. See, the double portion comes to those that won't even say with their mouth, well, I guess God's not going to do it. Don't even let your mouth go that far. Because God has never said that. Maybe I'll do it for you if you're good enough. He said no. He said I will. Come on, somebody. You've got to stay faith-filled. Your heart filled with faith and confidence in God, that confident trust. Hebrews 11:1 says it's this way. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. We've got to stay faith-filled. Faith is firm trust and belief in God, which cannot be shaken. We preached about that all last year. It cannot be shaken. Because there's a shaking coming, folks. I'm telling you, it's going to shake churches to their socks. And believers and people. But stay with me here. Stay faith-filled. Now, the word says here, it happened as they continued. As they continued on, that suddenly the chariots of fire came. They continued. They didn't give up. They stayed faithful. Even if they were tired, they were filled with faith. Elisha was filled with the faith of God. That's why he asked God for a hard thing. You can ask God for a tough thing, a thing that doesn't look easy in the natural, because he's the God of faith. And Mark 11:23 and 24 says, have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. Stay faith-filled, and don't let your mouth cut off your faith and cause unbelief in your heart. The Bible says, keep your heart, because out of the heart, be diligent, because out of the heart comes the issues of life. Faith, stay faith-filled. Hebrews 10:35, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Don't throw it away. You're too close to your answer to give up. You're too close to your breakthrough to throw it away. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:36 says, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you shall receive the promise. But I don't like that part. My flesh doesn't like that part. But that's where the flesh gets crucified, and the flesh comes to submission to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:23, hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Amen. Number six, write it down. Number six, remain submitted to authority. Wow, this is a big one. Because we're believing for something, but we're going, you know, they're just not, I don't think they're giving me what I need. So I'm just going to rebel. No, that's not the problem. The problem is you're not giving you what you need. I'm going to preach the truth. Can I preach the truth? We always blame on someone else what God wants to do, what he's trying to do in us. Come on, somebody. Because it's easier to throw it on someone else than to dig in and get on our face, get on our knees before God, and cast that unbelief out of our life and keep pressing into the presence of God. It's easier to blame the preacher. Well, I didn't get what I came for today. That's not the preacher's fault. It's the presser's fault. If you want the blesser, you've got to be a presser. You got to press in. You're sure quiet in this Presbyterian church. We stay humble. James 4:10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Hebrews 13:17. Even to the point of obey those who have the rule over you and be submissive, for they've got to give an account for your soul. I have to give an account for you. That's heavy duty for me. But let's go on. Number seven, in order for the double portion to be received, is we must pray continually. Pray continually. Most believers, most Christians, only pray when they have their devotion time and they sit down at a meal. Can I tell you something? That's not a prayer life. Because there's a spirit of prayer. There's a spirit of prayer that was on Jesus, where he would withdraw. Even if you withdraw from the crowd for 10 minutes and go pray in the Holy Ghost, it will build you up more than if you whine for 2 hours. Come on, somebody. Time is short in this world. We don't have time to mess around. Prayer continually puts you in a place at the right time to see the glory of the Lord being poured out and the double portion of the Spirit of God released. It's a spirit of prayer. Hallelujah. Your prayer life is not restricted to the church or to your house. You are the temple of the living God. You can take your prayer life anywhere you go. Your prayer life goes. Come on, somebody. Because you can call on the name of the Lord at any moment. And he said, I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't even know yet. Hallelujah. That includes the schools. Thank God that President Trump just signed back in order that prayer is allowed back in the schools. Hallelujah. Just happened this week. A principal can't tell a child, and a teacher cannot tell a child anymore, you can't pray here. Because it has been reversed. Come on, somebody. God always reverses the curse. Oh, somebody better get happy today. Hallelujah. This live stream is going all over the place. I got time. Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not lose heart and not faint. Always to pray. Amen. Your prayer life. Because our prayer life is this. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Come on. You and I live in the generation of on earth as it is in heaven. That's a season we live in. On earth, God, as it is in heaven. Jesus said, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. I submit to you, if you're longing for a double portion, then let's get into the double prayer. In other words, we've got to step up our game. Come on. If you're asking for double, see, the principle of sowing and reaping is this. Galatians says, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. But the Bible in Corinthians also says, if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. 2 Corinthians 9, but if you sow bountifully, you will also reap bountifully. See, there's a principle here. So if you want a double portion, get some double prayer going. In other words, take double the time that you used to take. Let me say it this way. Spend double the time that you used to. That's why the spirit of prayer. That's why all day long you can pray in the Holy Spirit. That's why you can pray in the Holy Ghost wherever you are. You're stepping up your prayer level to the level of your asking. To the level of your desire. And when you step up your prayer level, you will step up your receiving level. Am I preaching to the right house? I've waited 2 weeks to preach this. It's been simmering. Matthew 6 even says, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. Oh, three powerful things we put together. So if you're praying, for supernatural financial increase, doesn't it stand to reason we need to double up on our giving, maybe? Because there are some that pray and they want God to bless them financially. They haven't even sowed a tithe. They just gave a stipend. I'm preaching really good. A tithe is 10% of our gross income, not our net. But there's too many believers around the world that just give a little stipend. Let's throw it in here, God. You know, just kind of throw it at him like God is going to do something real supernatural out of half obedience. Woo-hoo. You tithers know how God answers prayer. You givers above and beyond, you know how God multiplies. See, we got to step up our game. Come on, somebody. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Number 8. This is the final one. Number 8. Write this down. All right? For the double portion to be received, this is very important. You've got to pick up the mantle and act. When the Spirit of God is poured out, when the mantle of God's glory falls, when it comes upon you, you've got to pick up the mantle and begin to act upon the Word of God. Oh, you got to hear this. You got to hear this. Because when you pick up the mantle, you're picking up the Spirit. You're saying, God, what I've asked for, you're releasing, and now I'm going to guard it. I'm going to protect it. I'm going to take care of it. I'm not going to let anything hurt the mantle of the Spirit, Lord, that falls upon me, because I've got to pick that mantle up, and there's some things for me to do with that mantle of the anointing of God. I've got to take what I asked for and then begin to operate under that mantle of the anointing of the Spirit. Are you hearing this? That means take steps of faith, acting upon the Lord, taking possession of the Spirit of the Lord, being responsible to the Spirit of God. See, God doesn't just pour out His Spirit on you to make you feel good. There's a responsibility that comes with the anointing of God, and that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Tell your neighbor, tell your pharmacist, tell your doctor, tell your grocer, tell your gas station attendant. Come on, tell your employer that Jesus Christ is the Lord of heaven. Hallelujah. And Jesus put it this way in John 14:12. He said, "Most assuredly I say unto you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go to my Father." There's a mantle of the Spirit of God that the Lord is releasing upon the church, upon hungry believers. And he's placed a greater portion, a greater measure.